I want to finish off this morning with a little bit of Laodicea. Because I am really truly believe this little bit of the message this morning. And I still say it, I believe that God has been saying it for the last few months, and it was confirmed to me when I went to a ministry meeting, and Mark Green and a few other people said it exactly the same. It wasn't Mark Green, I apologize. It was our national leader, John Glass. So the same words I've been saying for the last few months. You can be sitting in church. You can hear. But you're not listening. Rod Wood has been up here to do some work for me in the last 2 days. He's been here Thursday and Friday, and he's ministered to some people in our church. And well, thank Rod for coming up and giving his time up that week. He said to me, I'd like you, Edward, to consider whether or not there's some people here that you would like to bring me up the next time I come, and I could train people to do freedom in Christ. And I said, well, what would be the one thing, Rod, you particularly would want that I need to know to see who was able to do this freedom in Christ? He said, Eddie, people who listen. He said, not hear, listen. And I believe that this thing that dropped into my spirit a few months ago, this word, has just been, everywhere I go, it's been associated that this word keeps coming back to me. We can hear, but we're not listening. Whether it's 40 seconds, 40 minutes, or 40 hours. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit. Even when we're doing freedom in Christ, Rod was spending, he's asked me to be praying for him before he came up, and he was praying the other day. Rod was saying, there's nothing I can bring, Ed. I'm willing to come up. There's nothing I can bring. I can only bring what the Spirit gives me. You must understand, in myself, I'll bring you nothing. But through the Spirit, I'm sure that I can minister. And that's why I believe he's got such a good track record. He hears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I know the people who have been with Rod the last 2 days from our assembly have been richly blessed. Because I believe in giving you the best. If I'm not capable of doing it, I'll bring somebody else in. That doesn't mean I'm any less. It means that God hasn't given me the gift of that ministry. And it'd be wrong for me to stand and give that gift of ministry when I know it's not my gift of ministry. But as a pastor and leader, it is my gifting to make sure that you get the best. And although financially, in your report, we have dropped hugely. I think it was 17%, but for the gift aid, it's made that up to about 3% drop in our finances this year. But we still bring people up who need to be paid for coming up from Reading. But I take a step of faith. And we've paid Rod. We're going to bless him. Because I want to give you the best. And he was the best that I could find. And if the best I could find were somewhere in London, I'd bring that person up for you. We need to understand that life may not give us exactly what we want. And here was a church who thought their life was exactly what they want. They had gold, they had garments, and they had the special anointment which they could gaze and make people's eyes. They thought they had everything. And God says the three things you have are the three things you desperately need. You don't need gold, God said. You need value in your life. You don't need the best garments. You need virtue in your life. I've called that you might be righteous. You don't need to be gazing at the special ointment of God. You need to have vision. God says, take action. I want to tell you about this church. I'm going to be frank with you. They heard the message. It was read to them. But they weren't listening. And all the seven churches that we've dealt with, apart from two churches, they didn't listen. They heard, but it made no difference. It didn't listen. I tell you, we're doing an Alpha course, and you'd be praying for three people in particular. I believe they're on the verge. I believe they're at the crossroads of life. And they're telling us that, aren't they, Eunice? I believe they're just one step away from making a final commitment to God. They're listening. One person is saying that even during the night, she's experiencing. Oh yeah. She's openly admitted to us, isn't she? You see, they're not just coming and having a meal and listening to Nicky Gumbel and then we go home. They are actually listening. God is pounding at the heart's door. Oh, to God that they would open it. And we told them frankly that we're praying for them every day. Well, we've been openly admitted about it. We want to take them that one step into the promised land. God says, not only do I want you to take action, I want you to take my counsel. This is where we ended last week, and I want to just finish this off. And I don't know whether we're going to go into Pipe Hayes, but I've got the notes ready to give everybody them. And you'll take these notes home with you, and you will have 2 weeks to look at them. And the conclusion bit is the answers that we want to come back with as a church. If you're on the session, then you definitely need to take one today, because our next session meeting will be devoted to what that piece of paper is all about. I want to know from what you think, session, where we are going as a church. I want to know, though, from you. It's not a witch hunt. It's not a winch hunt. It's not let's have a go at Pastor Week. I'm being serious. But it is. It is saying, this is where, Pastor, I think the church is at. This is my conclusion. And we will spend some time that Sunday morning. We'll probably be a debate. It'll probably be different seminar talk to what you're normally used to. We'll probably be having a sharing session. But I want to tell you something. God has placed you here. Get used to the fact. Settle down. Get used to the fact that God has placed you here. And let's get on with the King's business. God's called you here. And you must go back to God as you want, but God will just say, I've called you there. Get on with it. Get on with it. Take action. Get on with it. And this is where I want us to finish today. Be zealous means to be hot. This is what he says to them. Be zealous. Remember, they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. God says, listen, I want you to be on fire for God. Let me tell you, he's ordering his church to be on fire for God. This is God's last words to the churches in the book of Revelation. These are his final words to his church, not to his individual people. We'll come on to that in about 5 minutes. But this is to the church. His final words to the church is, get on fire for God. I don't want you cold. I want you on fire for me. Be zealous for me. I tell you what, the Jehovah's Witnesses have no problem knocking on your door, have they? No problem at all. I don't care what you say about them. They're on fire for whatever they believe in. Aren't they? Eh? And you know when they're coming, that trademark stamped all over them. They don't have to have Jehovah's Witnesses on their brow, do you? You know as soon as the gate opens, oh dear me, here they come. And you know the questions they're going to open the door with, don't you? You know it. You always have my Bible ready. Get ready for them. Because this is a great opportunity. Don't send them away. This is a great opportunity for you to tell them about God. But I tell you what, they're on fire. They are on fire. God's last words to his church is, be zealous for me. Be zealous for me. Because why? Because listen, Tyburn. Listen, Pipe Hayes. I'll tell you why I want you on fire. Because there's a day coming when I will make you as kings and priests, and you shall reign with me on the earth. What a promise. Now, isn't that a great promise for you? You don't have nothing in this life. I promise you there's a day coming, the Bible says, when you will reign with Christ upon the earth. All this week, what's it been about the news? All this week, the engagement. Surely you must know about it. If you've been asleep, Prince somebody's getting, I don't even know his name. What's his name? If you say so, Mary. Prince William has got engaged to Mary. Not Mary, sorry, to Katie. Katie. Is it Katie? Oh, whatever she is, bless her Lord. But anyway, listen. And it's filled, hasn't it? Oh, there wasn't that national press when I got engaged. It was a bygone event, I think. And I didn't get engaged and go to Westminster Abbey. I got engaged at Reg Vardy's garage. But never mind. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm engaged to a king. Hallelujah! I'm engaged to a king. I know what it's like. I won't be in the news here on earth, but one day I'll be in the news up there. One day the world will put the TVs on and the DVDs and the satellites and they'll see us coming. Behold, he cometh with 10,000s upon 10,000s upon 10,000s upon 10,000s of his saints. There's a day coming when you're coming back in glory. This wasn't what I meant to say, but I just want you to get on fire for God today. Listen, you're coming back as kings and priests. Your future is bright. Thank God it's not orange. There are spots in England I can't use my orange phone. It's a pain in the something. But one day there'll be nowhere where I won't be able to recept it. Hallelujah. No, the world's not orange. The world is Christ's. And it doesn't look very bright at the moment for some of us. I'm serious, it doesn't look very bright at the moment for us. God will remind you though. Don't worry about this little time on earth, Ed. The one to come will make all of this seem as nothing. Paul says, I count it all but as filthy rags that I might win the prize. Oh, let's be zealous as his church. Oh, wasn't it worship? Wasn't it great this morning? Wasn't it good to see so many of you actually move? I thought some of you couldn't move, but obviously you can. Some of you can move. No, it's great to worship God the way you worship God. Well, it's just a part of it. Let's be zealous for God. Let's be zealous. And I think as a church, when we come back in 2 weeks' time, perhaps we may need to repent. I don't know. I'm seeking God the same as you seeking God. Nothing wrong with repentance, you know. It just means to say you're truly... It doesn't mean to say you're sorry. It means you're truly sorry and you want to change the way you've done things. Saying you're sorry to someone is remorse. Changing your attitude and your ways is repentance. And if God has something to say to this church, Ian gave us a word this morning that he thought, and then he said to me, Pastor, I really felt that God was saying something about this building now. And if it is, and if my attitude perhaps is not in tune with God, I will need to repent. I will need to change my attitude, won't I? I'll need to change my behavior. I'll need to change my positive way of thinking. Whatever God is saying that I'm not running in agreement with, I've got to change. Not God, I've got to change. Do you understand what we're saying here? God hasn't got to change, we've got to change. And if God says he's for you, we've got to change to say that God is. Everyone know this picture? See, God has stopped speaking to the church. He said to the church, my last words to you is to be zealous. Now he goes on to bring one of the most famous verses in the whole of Scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This church, you see, were not listening. I keep saying it. They were not listening. And so God says, is there anybody in this church, is there anybody in this church actually listening to what I'm saying? I said to Rod, what's the definition, do you think, of that? He says, I'll tell you what it is, Eddie. He said, I'll say something to you for 2 minutes. And then you're going to repeat back to me what I've said. Not Chinese whispers, but on a one-to-one basis. You will just repeat back to me what I said. And he said, you know something? I'm so much in tune. I will know from what you tell me how much you've actually listened
to what I've actually said. Not what you've heard, but what you've actually listened to what I've said. And I believe God's saying that this morning. I believe God is saying, He said to this church, listen, I'm so desperate for you. I love you. He tells them that. This is what He says. I love you. That's why I'm being so hard on you, because I love you. This is what He says in 19. Listen, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Because I love you, Kevin, get hot for me. And you may have to repent to get hot for me, but do it, son. Do it, daughter. The reason I'm being so hard with you and might you think being so difficult is because I love you. I know what your future holds. And then having said those lovely words, he's still looking at his church and he says, all right, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is there anybody out there? Hello, is there anybody out there? And when this man did this painting, his name is Holman Hunt, he said to his friend, come and have a look at this painting. And he said, tell me, what do you think about this painting? And they looked at this painting, and this guy said, I've got a criticism to make of it. He said, what's that? He said, you've left the handle off the door. And Hunt replied, this door is a picture of the human heart. And the handle of the door is not on the outside. The handle of the door is on the... You'll never see a handle of the door, because the handle of the door is your heart. Let me tell you, friend, I think this is a terrific picture. Jesus Christ says, okay, church, I've told you to be zealous. I can do no more for you. I'm now going to ask individuals in the church, one by one. I'm standing at the door here. Will you open your heart's door for me? I can't open it, because I'm a gentleman. I won't bombard your door. I won't rampart your door down. I'll just keep doing this. And if you want to, open up your heart. Friend, he's saying the same words to his church today. Behold, I stand. I believe God is grieved. I believe God is grieved with his church. I believe God's still crying out to his church, if you don't want to be hot for me as a church, is there any individuals then who will want to come and have fellowship with me? And only you can answer that question. Only you. Yes, we use that as a gospel. We use it as a gospel verse, and it's a terrific gospel verse. But I believe God was speaking to individuals in his church. I want to ask you this morning, are you listening? Is your heart so cold towards God now because of the circumstances in which we find ourselves in? Has our hearts grown so cold towards him? The warmth and the love that we used to have for the Savior when we first knew him. The love, the warmth that we had when things were going well and we're walking down the King's Highway. But now God has taken us off the King's Highway and we're walking through a bit of wilderness. But the wilderness goes on and on and on. For almost 40 years, the wilderness is going on. Will we be like Job? Will you say, Father, when I know that when I come through this fire, I'll be refined as gold? Will we be able to say like Job, I don't know what you're doing to me, but I know that my Redeemer liveth? When his three friends came, what three friends he had? If he was depressed when before that, he was certainly on Valium after his three friends came. Job didn't find it easy, did he? He asked questions. If there was a God, why am I not being treated in such a manner? And God revealed himself at the end of his trial. Some people believe it lasted a year. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't say so. The only thing we know is that what Job said was true. When Job was refined, he came out as gold. And he was got his children back. He got his daughters back. He got his sons back. New ones. Got his daughters back and he got his children back. And he was four times richer, or so many times richer. Friend, I'm not guaranteed that's what God's going to do in this life. I'm not going to guarantee you that at all. I'm going to guarantee it'll happen in the next life. Because you're passing through. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be a wonderful life here on earth, because I can't say that. But I can say the next one has promised that you will be a priest and a king forever and ever and ever. He says, I will come to him. I will sup with him. I will be with him. I will have this fellowship. You will get to know me better. Rick Warren says this every morning he wakes up. Jesus, I want to love you more today than I loved you yesterday. And then he goes on to say this every day. Jesus, I want to please you more today than I pleased you yesterday. If I do nothing for you at the end of this day, which has accomplished anything in your kingdom, may this one thing accomplished, that I have known you more, because I'm interested in intimacy more than ministry. Are you interested in intimacy? Because Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want to have fellowship. Jesus wants to have intimacy, not ministry. Not ministry. Out of intimacy will flow ministry. But ministry can never flow out of intimacy. Can't be the other way around. Intimacy with Christ must come first. We won't do pie pays. I think we'll leave pie pays. The next thing he says to them was that he will come to sit with him. To sit with Christ on his throne is indicative of royal authority and power. Kingdom participation is in view here. I want to tell you that Christ has a throne. And on that throne he sits. And the pleasure is that you and I will be with Christ. He says you will sit with me on a throne of glory. On the throne. He makes that quite clear. He doesn't say you're going to stand there. He says you will sit with Christ on his throne. Friend, just think when you, then why that verse hits you, you can understand why God is more interested in your future than he's interested in the present at times. He knows that one day you'll sit with him in glory. But it's only to those who've opened the door and knock. Let's get that verse together. The verse can't be separated. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame. There's something you see about being victorious with Christ that will make all this worthwhile. It's to him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. Am I preaching you can be saved and lost? No, I'm not preaching that you can be saved and lost. That's an open debate. I'm simply saying how much intimacy and where you will be with Christ in heaven totally depends upon what you do for him here now. And if you're satisfied with sitting right at the back and just getting into heaven's door, then fine. But if you want to be right with the intimacy at the throne of God, there's a condition for it. That condition is to be zealous for him, to be on fire for him, to invite him into this life, to sit in our fellowship with him daily, and to do his will. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry, but working for Christ in the church where he's placed you is one of the participants of being intimacy with Christ. So many are going to be happy just to get into heaven and be at the back seat. I wonder, do we want to be right at the throne? Paul said, I've run the race. I've run the race. I finished the course that God has given me to do. There now awaits for me, eh? Paul says, I'm going to be as intimate with Christ as I can possibly be. And all I have to do is to be zealous on fire for him and to finish the work that God has given me to do. Are you going to finish your work that God has given you to do? That's all he affirms you. It might be like Will sitting there, just giving the hymn books, but if Will finishes the work that God's got for him to do, there awaits for him a crown of righteousness. Friend, God isn't asking you to go to the other side of the world. He's saying, Pipe Hayes, 1107 Tyburn Road, is quite sufficient for you. Do work in my church. Do what you can in my kingdom. Whoever you meet, whether it's outside or inside. But if I've placed you here, get on with it. And to him that overcomes, he will sit with me and have a crown. Why settle for anything less? Why settle for anything less? Because I'm too busy. I've got this that I want planned, and I've got that I want to do, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And God said, that's your problem. It's all I. It's all I. He doesn't say, come unto me, and you can do what you want. He says, come unto me, and I will come in. I will sit with me. I will direct your path. I will direct your thoughts. I will direct the way I want you to go. 12:10, and we are finishing. I feel it's so important to realize that the little time that we have on earth can have such a fantastic impact in heaven. All that I'm doing here now is going to count for me when I get to heaven. And if you don't believe me, read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And God's saying, I'm giving you an opportunity, Kevin, to have abundant riches in heaven. I'm giving you that opportunity. I can't give you them. You've got to earn them. But I'm giving you that opportunity. That's why he says, work out your salvation. He's not talking about being saved. He says, work out your salvation. Prove how zealous you are for me. How hot are you for me? Are we building something for the next kingdom? Or are we saying, no, I'm quite happy to get into heaven and stand in the back door? And choice is ours. Choice, I believe, is ours. This is, as we finish now, 12:15, we said we finish. The promise also is to sit with him in white garments. Women in the Roman times were encouraged by the Roman emperor to occupy their time working with wool. The task was synonymous with being a virtuous wife. In other words, when the Roman emperor wanted his women to have something to do instead of gossiping, instead of having affairs, instead of fiddling about with their time that they want, what he did is he employed them to have this wool and to do something with this wool. We talked about it in last week. And the emperor, Augustus, was so eager to establish this tradition that he wore woolen clothes made by his wife. He would go about with woolen clothes made by his wife to show the virtue there was in having his wife not idly but busy keeping so that she'd be faithful to him and that she had something to do. And Jesus is making the same illusion. Let's get on being faithful to Jesus. Let's be the wool. Let's get on with it. And he made it a law. He made it a law. Strictly to observe. And to find he wasn't the first one. Jesus says in Deuteronomy 22:11 and Leviticus 19:19. Sorry, yes, Leviticus 19:19, Deuteronomy 22:11. I want to ask you something. Do we want to sit upon the throne? Do we want to have white garments? Are we looking for value from God, virtue from God, and vision from God? Are we a church that's on fire for God? Or are we going to be quite happy to have a little sing-along with Max? Well, are we? You in your small corner and I in mine? I hope not. I hope we're never satisfied. I hope we're always wanting more from God. But only you can determine your own future. But I pray it won't be just hearing. It will be listening.